Praise God. I just want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I came in this morning and I thought, my goodness, it looks like a zoo around here. What's going on? Praise God. But I want you to know that it's purposeful, obviously, because we start vacation Bible school tonight. So the kiddos are all excited. I saw someone wearing their vacation Bible school outfit today, and they were just feeling glamorous this morning. And so there were sparkles everywhere on the coat and shoes. So the children are all excited, and they will have an experience with God. I love it because our children will have lots of fun. But I promise you, what I love about vacation Bible school is when I see the kids worship, and I've snuck in on the vents sometimes, and the presence of God is there. And they're having life-touching moments as children. You know, I thank God that our teens were off this weekend having pump where they were seeking God and being touched. And how many of you enjoyed Thursday night service? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, you had better just be ready for the increasing presence of God in the house. I want you to know that I have been praying for this whole year, just like they did when they walked out of Egypt and into the new land. It says that they were together for a year. And at the end of that year, the anointing of God came in such a degree that the captain of the host of the angels said, I am here to go with you wherever you go in the name of the Lord. Amen. And I'm telling you that I just believe that we're just going to continue to see the increase of God's presence on us, his healing power on our lives. Right now, we have so many testimonies of what God has done and how many people are walking in healing and health and just restoration. And I tell you what, that's going to be the continuation of the power of God that you're going to see and experience. Amen. So this morning, we're just going to rejoice in the Lord. We're just going to be thankful for his goodness and presence. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to press in to who he is, our Lord, our Savior, and our Heavenly Father, who loves you beyond your understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. How many of you ready to come out of that grave this morning?
Woo! Yes. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. And I was breathing but not alive. And all my failures I tried to. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name. glorious day. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I wasn't.
Come on.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name.
Cause when you call my name, I ran. mercies. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Father God. You've never let us down. You've never failed us. You've never looked away. You've never walked away. You've always been there, Lord God. And you always will. You're not like man, whose emotions get the best of us and we get angry and we get mad at people and we turn away. That's not who you are. Your grace is sufficient for all. And Father, we just praise you and give you glory. Hallelujah.
Church body as a whole. Keep in mind, he's only using me to deliver. I am making all things new. I am restoring, purging, cleansing, and healing, making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is my hands and my hands only that is turning everything around in due season. Get ready. Prepare your hearts, your minds, and your souls. For I am getting ready to release a revival on this land like never before. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what I'm about to do. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal.
You're working in. salvation. He's the way. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. We lift our voice. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
One more time like this. Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
You sound excellent today.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God.
That you may ask or think. That's like saying, God, I just heard a story. I read a story the other day. And it was this evangelist that goes out and he's a missionary. He's going across seas. And he was doing all this stuff. And he was really serving, like literally bringing thousands into the kingdom of God, serving the Lord. And he comes home after a meeting that he'd been in a couple day meeting. He came home just for like an hour because he had to go to another meeting that was just for that night. And his wife's crying. He said, "Honey, what's wrong?" She said, "We got no food." He said, "It's going to be okay. My God's going to take care of us." Now, in the natural, she probably wanted to smack him over the head. "We got no food in this house. I got babies in this house. And you're getting ready to walk out that door again. Come on, let's just be real." In the natural, but she wasn't a natural woman. She was a woman of God. So she just believed. He left, went to the meeting, came home. His kids were running around, jumping, screaming, shouting, praising the Lord. And he's like, "What is wrong with y'all? What's going on?" Somebody had brought an envelope to their house. They handed it to him. It had 10 $100 bills in it. Listen, God knows all your needs. And I promise you that back in those days in the 60s, $100 would have taken care of groceries. But our God does exceedingly, abundantly, above all we may ask or think. Amen? So let's sing this. Let's sing it. If you're not a singer, listen, we're so loud in here, nobody hears you anyway. Don't worry about it. You hear my voice and you don't complain to me. I'm not going to complain to anybody. Amen? Just sing this out. Let your mouth, let your spirit come out. And let your flesh hear it. Because He will do exceedingly abundantly. There is nothing impossible with my God.
Over every heart and every mind.
peace within his presence. I speak Jesus.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Hallelujah. While we're right here in this presence, I want to know if there's anybody in here who is dealing with severe stomach pains. I felt like there was someone in here who might have some rib issues or pain through their rib or back, strained yourself, hurt yourself. If anybody's in here like that, and then if anybody in here is having any kind of chest pains this morning, any difficulty in breathing this morning, I want you to just quickly come up here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we have got to start to learn to respond to the Spirit of the Lord. I can't tell you how many times someone comes up to me after service and says, Pastor Phil, I think this might have been me. And I'm happy to pray with them. But I will tell you, the time to move is when the presence of God is speaking to me. I'm not up here flipping a coin. I'm not making something up. I'm telling you that if you have an issue in these areas, if you come, the Lord, come on. If you come, woo, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord will heal you. Amen. What do you got going on? Amen.
He is.
Woo.
Amen.
Our God is an incredible, loving God. And you know, I just think that even when Brother Chris was here, you know, we talked later and he said, you know, the Lord completely changed what I was thinking that was going to be done. Huh. And I'm just thinking back to how many times he just kept saying to us that God loves you.
Amen. Amen.
And it is time for us really to shake off that spirit of condemnation, shake off our yesterday, and receive the love of God so that you can move forward into everything he has for you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
I'm telling you. It is not time for the people of God to step back. It's not time for the people of God to accept mediocrity. It's not time for the people of God to accept anything other than the fact that the Lord wants the best for you. Amen.
It's not time for you to lay down and let the devil trample
Amen.
Over
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Because the only way the devil can do it is if you allow it.
Amen.
It's time
Amen.
For the army of the Lord to stand up
Amen.
And march.
Woo,
it's
Amen.
Time for the army of the Lord to start
Hallelujah.
Getting its word,
Amen.
Getting its sword, getting
Amen.
Its... you know, weapons, the weapons of the Lord that
Amen.
Are not carnal but mighty through God.
Amen.
It's Praise time for us to stand up and quit Ooh. Acting like we're an amoebic little
Amen.
Being
Absolutely.
That doesn't have power and authority.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, you have all the power and authority
yeah.
that Jesus had,
Absolutely.
Even more so
Amen.
Because he sits at the right
Amen.
Hand of the Father for us.
Amen. Amen.
And greater works
Amen.
We will do than he did because he sits there for us. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Man, we need to quit getting
yep.
out of this, oh, woe is me attitude. Oh, woe
Amen.
Is you nothing. You
Amen.
Got the King of Kings and
yep.
the Lord of
Amen.
Lords. God is your daddy.
Woo! Amen.
And there ain't nobody more powerful. There ain't nobody more loving.
Amen.
There ain't nobody more graceful. There ain't
Amen.
Nobody willing to move heaven and earth more than your daddy.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm telling
Hallelujah.
You, we
Amen.
Need to get up out of this.
Amen.
And start marching.
Amen.
Because all you're doing is letting things
Amen.
Go on in your
Amen.
Life that shouldn't.
Come on. Amen.
And you're
Amen.
Staying in a wilderness
Amen.
That you shouldn't have to stay in longer than you should have ever had to
Amen.
Be there.
Amen.
Children
Amen.
Of Israel, 40 years
Praise
instead of
God.
11 days. And if you
Amen.
Don't get up, you're never going to reach your promised land because
Amen.
There were people
Hallelujah.
In the promised land that never reached the promised land out of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Two that left.
Amen.
Two. Go read your word. Two.
Amen.
that left
Hallelujah.
Egypt
Amen.
Got into the promised land.
Amen.
Listen, get up, stop complaining, stop whining. Mm. You, Pastor Gina, I know what you've been through. You're right, I don't. I know what I've been through.
Amen. Praise
I know
God.
What this man has been through.
Ooh.
And there are several in here, I know what they've been
Ooh,
through.
Amen. Praise
and
God
has not
Hallelujah.
Failed one of us.
Amen. Amen.
God has not on. Forsaken Hallelujah. One of us. And
Amen.
He says in his word that he is not a respecter of persons.
Hallelujah.
And what
Amen.
He did for one, he'll do for another.
Amen.
And you are the other. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! You are whatsoever Amen. Whosoever.
Amen.
He will do it for you.
Woo. Amen.
But you got some skin in this game.
Come
Sorry,
on,
I was in sports and I didn't know what else to say at that moment. I was looking.
Amen. Amen.
But you got some skin in this game.
Absolutely.
You got to get up and do your part.
Oh, come on.
Jesus has already Uh-oh. Done his part.
Woo.
Victory is already ours. Read the end Amen. Of the Bible. We win.
Amen.
We win the middle of it. The middle of our life after salvation to death. Man, this journey is ours.
Amen.
It's ours to run with Jesus or to mm-hmm. sit down and whine. It's up
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
I don't want to sit down and whine. I'm tired.
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing the people of God mm-hmm. pushed down and just Amen. Kept down and watch them mm-hmm. time after time, remembering their past, thinking
yep.
about how they can't do this because, oh, I did this once in my life. Stop it.
Amen. Praise God.
Paul went out and hunted Christians.
Yes.
And God turned him around and used Amen. Him. And he, in the end of his life, said, I've done nothing wrong.
Amen. Praise God.
Because God had so wiped yeah. his sin yeah. from
yeah.
him.
Yeah. yeah. He killed Christians.
Yes.
But he got to the point where he said, I got no blood on my hands. Why? Because he allowed Jesus to let his past be thrown where it could be. And thank God he did. Because if Paul had to set up under the misery of what he did in his yesterday, he would have never touched the lives of the thousands and thousands. Even our life today is being touched because Paul threw his past away and stood on the word of God. Amen? And I tell you what, if you want to do anything in the kingdom of God, quit worrying about your yesterday and live so far into your future that you leave things on this earth that will be working for others even after you're long gone. Woo! Amen.
Listen, I promise you, Woo. The Lord just told me in my spirit, somebody just said, they're not talking to me. I'm not good enough.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Look yes, around you.
Amen.
There's nobody in here good enough.
Amen.
That's why Jesus had to come.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. None of us were good enough. Only by the blood of Jesus are Ooh. We now good enough to go. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. All you
Hallelujah.
Need for that
Amen.
Person that said that in their brain. Listen, that's the lie of the that enemy devil. To Amen. Keep you oppressed Ooh. And to keep
Amen.
You down.
Amen.
And that is not Praise what God, God has for you.
Hallelujah.
God wants to break those bondages Amen. Off of you. Change your way of thinking.
Yep. Yep.
Listen.
You know, one of the worst things the enemy does is make us feel undervalued.
Right.
Because he knows how effective our word is. Unfortunately, we don't. Oh, come on. Well, I might have to preach at you twice today. But brother... Brother Chris loosened you up to long services, praise God. But anyhow, what I want to say to you is that you don't understand that these are the most powerful beings in the world, in all eternity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and then the redeemed Christian who's been saved through the blood of Jesus. So one of your big problems is that the Lord says on the earth, it takes you to have his will come to pass. Oh, come on now. I love you. But many of you are working stronger for the devil now that you're saved than when you were in the world because you still haven't changed your thoughts of yourself. You still haven't changed what you're willing to release out of your mouth. You're still condemning yourself. You're still cursing your future because you won't change what you have to say. See, a word like that will make a man want to run out of the church. That's why I had to come down here and get closer to you. Because I tell you what, saved people sitting there and not believing God just because it took a season longer than you thought to get what God has for you, shame on you. Let's get ourselves stirred up. Let's make sure that we just get back to the point where even if we have laid something down that's been too long for us, maybe the due season lasted longer than what you could keep your praise going. It's time for you to shake that off and get back on track with what you're believing God for and just stand in it and start speaking life over your life, and you will start seeing things change. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. This is your fault.
Man, this is love.
You and the Lord's fault.
Whether you understand this or not,
Amen.
That's love.
Amen. Amen.
If your child is getting ready to do something that you know is going to harm them, mm-hmm. or staying in behaviors that you know is going to harm them, you're going to say, stop doing this.
Amen. Praise
God. Because you're living well below, if you're doing this, mm-hmm. you're living well below where God has for you to be.
Amen.
And what God has meant for your life.
Amen.
Now, understand, even when you're serving him and you're running hard, things are going to be thrown at you.
Amen.
Because the word says, many are the afflictions of the mm-hmm. righteous. But don't forget to read the rest of that.
Amen.
The Lord delivers you out of all
Ooh,
of
them. Amen. Praise
amen.
God. Hallelujah.
His promise to you.
Amen. Praise
his
the
promise.
Name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We just want to
amen.
Encourage you. You are who God says you are, not what the world mm-hmm. says you are, mm-hmm. not what the voices of yesterday mm-hmm. said you were.
Mm-hmm.
Not what your coworker says you are. You Amen. Are who God says you are.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo, praise God.
Amen. I want to tell
Hallelujah.
You just a quick story. I wasn't going to tell it because, you know, I haven't even told Phil.
What?
I know. We were at the Bodkins campus and Chris was there. And he called up anybody with intestinal issues. Mm-hmm. And I've dealt with them for
mm-hmm.
20
time.
Some years.
Yep.
30 years. I can't even tell you, believing in faith the entire time that I'm healed, but I've dealt with it for a very long, long time. And as I'm standing up there, the Lord gave me his promise. So I know I'm healed.
Amen.
He said, Regina, remember the woman with the issue of blood.
Amen.
Because I'd given up hope of sometimes going up to get prayer for it and saying, oh Lord, I've been prayed for 100 times and I'm still believing I'm prayed. I mean that I'm healed. But the Lord said, remember the woman with the issue of blood. She had it for 12 years, and she fought through, touched his garment, and she was healed. Listen, our day of victory is coming.
Amen.
It may not come when we want it to come, but it's coming. Amen?
Amen.
And I am healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Okay, what we got going on?
Well,
VBS!
Yeah. First of all, we'll let brother
knowing your
Pastor
identity
Jared,
and creation or something like that. I was
Pastor
close.
Pastor Jared, come out here.
I don't have it written in front of me.
This is the day that the Lord has made. So come out here.
Amen. And talk Let's to give God a praise real quick. He's been so good to us, so faithful.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Man, guys, just take a look around. We got all kinds of prizes Amen. Over here. We got all Amen. Kinds of decorations. We're going to be getting the stage all set up right after service. We're so excited. Tonight at 6 o'clock to 8:30, and then all the way through Thursday night, come join us. Bring lots of kids, okay? You just go round them up in the neighborhood, man. It's like an ice cream truck or something.
Amen.
But we're so thankful for how you guys have given in to us, and we're so excited about what God is getting ready to do. He's already been moving. He's already been working, and that's not going to stop just because we're doing Vacation Bible School. That's going to continue right through VBS into our kids, okay? So we can get excited about that. Mm-hmm. And one thing we do at Vacation Bible School is theme nights.
Amen.
Okay, can I have Shane? Can you come up here real quick?
Praise God.
Okay, come up here, Brother Shane.
Amen.
Shane's one of our group captains. He hangs out with all the kids, all the older ones. And this man, what is your favorite color?
Green.
You couldn't tell? Tonight's theme night is favorite color night. Okay,
Amen.
So
Praise
Shane
God.
Is being a great example, and he's modeling for us what all the boys and girls need to come to VBS looking like tonight. Except for don't wear Green Bay socks.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Shane. Shane looks great. So, yes, Hallelujah. we have a favorite color night, and I'll be posting out on our VBS, our Facebook page all the rest of the theme nights for the rest of the week. So come
Beautiful.
And have lots and lots of fun.
Amen. Now, one thing that we're going to do is we got some animals coming. And I heard that tonight there's going to be a very precious, kind donkey here by the name of Ginny. And she actually has a cross on her back.
Oh,
Is that amazing?
That's awesome.
And I tell you what, that it reminds me of how the Lord said, hey, go into this city and you're going to see a donkey that has been set aside just for me to ride into my entryway. So we got animals here. We got all kinds of stuff going on that's going to be exciting. And I tell you what, along with the fun and the activities these children will have, I thank God for the presence of the Lord that's going to come upon our children. Amen.
That came upon our children and is going to stay on
yes,
our children.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, if you were not here on Thursday night, the Lord fell on our children.
Hallelujah.
Joy came on this whole entire place through one little girl.
Amen.
I'm Hallelujah. Telling you.
Yeah.
You think of, you want ever if you ever wonder, which you shouldn't, because the Bible says, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me." But if you ever wonder what God thinks about them, Thursday night would have told you.
Amen. Praise God.
Don't mess
we,
with them.
We had little children laying on the floor, getting up, saying, "What just happened to me?" Amen.
Healed.
Amen. Healed. Yep.
Yes.
That Noah Drake, his parents were telling me that they got to cool him down a little bit on this eating liberty. Amen. Because he's had Taco Bell, Subway, and all kinds of stuff.
No, yeah.
And me and his dad was talking, and he said, "Hey, I have to tell Noah that even though he's getting these liberties, it doesn't mean that we get to eat like this all the time. We still have to eat healthy." Amen? Praise God. But God has been so good. He's definitely healing and blessing. And I want you to remind me at the end of service, I always like to say this stuff when we're live streaming, because at the end of service, we're going to cut off live stream, and I got to share something really exciting that's going to take place next week. So right now, I'm just building things up for you to have to wait, because we're shutting off live stream and sharing some secrets.
How many of you want me to hit him in the head right now for getting y'all about... build up, and you want to know now.
We love our online family, but there's just some things that we get to share. And then
I want to
also hear. Today is a very special day.
Yes.
Because we get to dedicate a beautiful, beautiful Woo-hoo. Young man to the Lord. Amen. And so that's something else we're going to do a little later in the service today. And for right now, we're going to let these kids who are excited about Vacation Bible School head out of here and get the day started. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. And as they go, don't forget we have Seek and Find, which is going to be a time of spending time with the Lord. On Sunday night, it will start at 6:30. And then Monday and Tuesday, it will be 7. And we're just coming in and we're just going to worship the Lord and
right
whatever
here,
He will do.
Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday. Because the Bible says that if you seek Him, He will be found. Amen?
Amen.
And I just, especially before our kids go back to school, and especially as we get ready to finish out the year, I just really felt it in my spirit that especially after Brother Chris came, that there was just going to come an increase of what's available to us in God if we will press into it.
Amen.
And so I'm just telling you that God is going to be doing tremendous things, as He already has been, but we're just going to see an increase because there is an outpouring of God that's coming upon the earth right now.
Amen.
Listen, if you think that the Lord's going to let everything going on in the media and the news take the headlines, you got another thing coming. Because the Lord says that He will pour His Spirit out upon all flesh, and everybody's going to know Him. And His latter day within us will be greater than the former day.
Yes.
Amen? So you look at that Bible and you see the things that have come to pass. And you know in your lifetime that you have seen great things. But I'm telling you, you need to get refreshed and get yourself stirred up. Because God has a whole lot. See, what the enemy's trying to do is get some of you. So you miss things that have just been delayed for God's greatest season of your life. And so I'm telling you, it's time for you to shake yourself, stir yourself, and know that God is coming in a great way. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There will be no teens this Thursday night because most of the teens are helping with the VBS.
Amen. And speaking of teens, Philip, come up here and give us a report on both middle school and high school. And then we might want to hear...
Before I tell you, from my perspective,
amen.
All the people that were there for both middle school and high school that are in here, come on up here.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
And since middle school was first, you get to go first.
Oh, jeez. Never trust me and RJ.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you that now.
I heard that. But we're talking about what God did with
you. Yeah, I know. I'm able to pray in tongues now.
Amen.
Jesus.
Woo!
Jesus.
Amen. Anything else?
Okay. All right. He said he ain't got nothing else. Keegan. All right, Keegan.
If you guys don't know, Logan does a podcast called Indeed and in Truth. And this little boy gave his testimony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And led people to Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah.
All right. So at Pump, I was... When I went there, I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. I was worried about not knowing people. But as I went there, I was praying, and I told God, because I got called to be in the ministry. And I told God, I said, well, I'm not worthy enough to teach about you, God. I'm not worthy enough, and I'm worthless. And as right before that, they said, pretend like God's in, walk through the door and is in front of you. And I went on my hands and knees, and I started praying. And then I just heard God say that you are worthy. And I could already speak in tongues, but it was just like a machine gun. And then I started speaking in different like variations, different vowel sounds, and it was incredible. And I did cry, and Phil witnessed that. So I will admit that. But it was awesome.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Alana, I want you to tell the people what happened to you at Pump. What God did for you at Pump.
Oh. Okay. Wait, what happened?
You gotta tell us. What did God did for you at Pump?
Okay, so I was at Pump, and we were at service, and, we were, like, preaching, and, like, when I just started crying, and then like, God, like, touched me.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. What's up, Trey?
I got prayed for, and healed my heart.
Oh.
What about you, Noah? Do you remember? You're just so excited that you get to eat whatever you want now, huh? All right. I like it.
Go ahead, Isaiah.
He was helping me find my identity because I got prophesied over, and it was about finding my true identity and not being like my mom or my dad or my brother. To find my true identity.
Amen. Praise God.
All right, Caleb. You guys notice Caleb has a notebook out, right? Like, God done spoke to Caleb, and now that I know and his parents know, we ain't gonna let him do anything less.
Amen.
So, a lot of things happened at Pump. The first night, Pastor Kyan was there, and it was amazing. He talked about how we are never too young to serve God, or that we're never too old, and that we just need to trust in him. The second night, it was Philip? Was it you, or was it? Yeah. It was Pastor Tim, and I'm telling you, like, the presence of God was there. Like, all services lasted, like, till like for 3 hours.
Amen.
And like I've been prophesied over, like getting words and stuff like that. And like the first night, Pastor Kylan asked for people who had been called to be a pastor, and I raised my hand, and Philip, Pastor Tim, Pastor Kylan all basically said the same thing, that a supernatural boldness and confidence is coming over me to stand up for what he believes, and that I won't be ashamed to walk in him, and that, but I need to be humble about it, and that he's bringing humility and all that. So,
amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
So, now, I don't blame the middle schoolers for not remembering it was 2 weeks ago. But amen. What I've seen in each and every single one of these kids is I watched them grow over those weekends, and I watched God just touch each and every single one of their hearts. What I seen over some of them was an overwhelming peace just come into their lives. Some of them have had some rough issues, you know, Noah having his thing, but there was just a peace. Like God was setting them, each and every single one of them up for another level. We were talking about leveling up, and the first message was hitting the reset button. Some of them hit the reset button on major issues. Some of them had little issues that they hit the reset button on. The next message for high school, and it was a message after mine for middle school, was that, like he said, you're never too young. And then God had me talk about how you can't cheat the process. There's no cheat codes. And so in middle school, like, I got to talk a little nicer, a little easier, and just kind of give them a demonstration of what it was to try to cheat the process and what God would do. But when we got to high school, God didn't just wreck these kids, he wrecked me.
Amen.
And he changed the whole perspective of that message from just explaining how you have to completely just grind at this process and stay focused, but that when God speaks to you, you can't change any part of it. That you have to take it fully for what it is, and you have to walk it out to the letter. You can't change one thing because what God told you seems a little too difficult for you, a little too far out of your comfort zone. You have to just go for it. And then Tim took the last few nights, and he just basically told them how to please God. And if these kids learn absolutely nothing else, which we know they learn more, but the one thing that we really wanted to get through to them is that in order to please God, there's two things: to believe in him and to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen. Praise God.
Like, not just to wait for the fact that you're diligently seeking him and then believing God is a rewarder. You believe it before it ever happens. Mm-hmm. And that pleases God. And so that's kind of how Pump went.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you enjoying me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I want to take just a few minutes to take up the offering. And I'm just going to say this to you, that when we look at the promises of God's word, he releases things into our life that are made for mankind to live the way he intended from the beginning, okay? I want you to know that way back in the beginning of the Bible, you can see even in the book of Genesis that the Lord says, as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest. And you know, I just loved it these last few weeks because I've been driving in the cornfields, amen? Just driving through, and these cornfields are just rising up, and all these corn is just growing. And I want you to know that from one corn seed, there are typically 6,000 individual seeds, or whatever you want to call them, grain, that ends up on all the corn cob that end up on one corn stalk. Powerful. But when I was going through there, I didn't do what we used to do years ago when I was a little boy and we was poor. Every now and then we might stop and sneak into the field and get a few cobs. Hallelujah. But as I was driving through there, I was just thinking about the provision of God. I was thinking about farmers, how they go and they till their ground and they work it and then they sow a seed and look what God gives them back. And that's in the natural. And I want you to know something, that the Lord expects to till your ground in the spirit realm. He expects to change your heart. He expects for you to put off the world's way of doing things and accept what he has to say. And I got to tell you something, when we first started and we started learning about tithing and we were as poor as we were, boy, you think about 10%, I thought, this is crazy, amen? But when we started just releasing what God told us and adhering to his way, then God took our life out of the natural realm and boosted it into the supernatural realm, where we don't just receive of our diligence and our hard work in the natural, which is a way to be blessed. But adding God to what you're doing is the way to live the life that God intends for you to live. So I want you to know that today, when you release what you do to God, I want you to know that what's in the natural is being connected to the supernatural realm of God. He sees your offerings. He sees what you're doing. And God intervenes in our life. And the Bible says that he will open up the windows of heaven. And he will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And he will supernaturally increase what you give him. I got to tell you something, that Regina and I, when we first got saved, we would look at our year, you know, and we get our little income statements back. And when we would add up what God had done for us in that year, our finances didn't make sense for what we were able to do. And I tell you what, leave room for God to supernaturally touch what you have. Amen? And he will do that which is extraordinary. Amen? So we're going to bring the offering buckets up. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to give our offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that even when I was driving through those fields and praying, God, I just thank you that I just saw, God, your hand just upon your people's lives. Father, I was just seeing how the word says you are Jehovah Jireh, God, that you provide. Father, the Hebrew of that is that you are the many-breasted one. In other words, you have nourishment and needing power for no matter what situation's going on in people's lives. Father, that your house is the house of prayer and that there will always be provision in your house, Father. And Lord, even now, I know this week, people are going to see you move, God. God, burdens are going to be lifted off of them, Father. Lord, you're going to answer prayer. You're going to deal with medical bills. You're going to deal with bills that they have, God. You're just going to deal with situations in their life, Father. Lord, you're going to bring them into places of promotion and blessing, God. Lord, I see the spirit of increase coming upon families, God. Lord, you're going to move them and direct them, Father. Lord, I thank you that people are changing job shifts and monies, God, that is going to be blessing to them. Father, I see even in this house some people that have been under stress at the job, even though you've given it to them, God. And Lord, as they lean into you, Father, you're going to ease that stress. You're going to give them peace, wisdom, power by the Holy Ghost, God, to get through things, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that you're empowering people, God, and you're strengthening them. As they bring their offering forward, you just bless them, God, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Shine through the shadows, burn like the fire.
I want you to know that if after I get done preaching, if it seems like the service went long, you remember that that was Pastor Regina, that was Pastor Jared, and that was Pastor Philip Christopher Walker Jr. Boy, he talked about me talking long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to lay that on them, but I am going to preach to you what the Lord has put in my spirit. I want you to know something, that first of all, I want to thank you for your faithfulness, because remember, I kept telling you over the last couple weeks that the Apostle Paul said, I have come in expecting to preach meat, and yet I could only preach milk because what people were able to receive. And I thank God that that's not who you are. Listen, I'm going to preach to you the way the Lord wants me to preach to you, because you are people that, first of all, are mature enough to handle it, but you're also people that are seeking God to move forward. I tell you what, I hear when I pray that people are wanting more of God and wanting to see more of God, so I'm going to tell you what it takes. Amen? Amen. You know, it's just like this. People are always talking about revival, and people are always talking about seeing more of the Lord, but I got to tell you something. It takes you stepping up to be able to receive of those things. Amen. To whom much is given, much is required. Yes. Listen, I tell you what, sometimes I've had people say, well, I didn't get nothing out of the service. It wasn't my fault, it was their fault. They're the ones who lived like carnal little devils all week long, hadn't gotten the word, hadn't prayed nothing, didn't bring nothing into the house. And how do you think you're going to receive something if you bring nothing in? I mean, give me a break. Listen, I know how I live, and I ain't out there cussing and living in sin and drinking alcohol and doing a bunch of stuff. No, I fast and pray for you guys. You know, in fact, this week I'll be doing a 3-day fast for you and never even say anything to you about what I'm doing. And I'm only telling you that not because I want to puff myself up, but I'm telling you that you got to start participating in the kingdom of God if you expect to get results out of the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we look around the world and we're sad about what's going on, and I got to come back to the church because the liability lies with us. Oh, come on. You know, we want to complain about politics. We want to complain about the way of the world, but when is the last time you even sat someone down one-on-one and witnessed to them? When is the last time you got out of Facebook and out of politics long enough to get in the presence of God so that when you came into the Walmart, instead of people being afraid to come by you, they were drawn to you, and you said one word to them, and they started weeping and asking you to pray for them? When's the last time your neighbors come over and said, man, when I walk by your land, I just feel peace, or when I come to your house, I feel so much peace. What's going on here? And you're able to tell them, well, what you're feeling is not me, but it is the time that God's presence comes into my house. Amen. Boy, I'm glad you're up front, dear, because if nobody else is applauding my message, I'm glad that I hear little amen in the corner. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want you to know something, that sometimes as Christians, we complain about the world, but what have you done to change the world? Sometimes I have to encourage myself. Amen. Hallelujah. But listen to me. I'm serious here. Sometimes as Christians, we are complaining about everything that's not right in our life, but the biggest person that can connect with God to change your life is sitting right here under the sound of my voice, and you're not allowing the Lord to be what he needs to be so you can walk where he wants you to walk. Listen, I got to tell you something. God hasn't changed. And if we're really honest with ourselves, in fact, most of the times when somebody tells me how they're struggling and how down they are or how depression has come in and how stress has come in, I just do the checkup. Have you been seeking him? Have you been reading? Have you been praying? And do you have a scripture that you're standing on for the situation you've come through? Hallelujah! We just solved a lot of problems. Because listen, we have got to seek the Lord. Amen? And I want to remind you, and I'm first going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to give you a personal challenge, and then I'm just going to remind you that the process never changes. I want you to know that from the beginning, the Lord was saying, man, seek with me and stay in relationship with me. Why did Adam and Eve fall in the garden? We don't know how long they were there, folks. It wasn't like they were only there for a moment. No, they had been in that garden a long time. Adam had named every animal. They were living in the goodness of God. And if you were living in the power of God back then, what in the world are you doing talking to the devil? I mean, the Lord came to walk with them in the cool of the day every day. What in the world? Why wouldn't Eve just say, you know what, serpent? There's something that just doesn't sound right about what you're saying to me. And I tell you what, in just a moment of time, my Father's going to come to this garden and he's going to walk with Adam. And when he does, I'm going to tell him what you're trying to speak to me. And I'm going to get my Father in heaven's voice on what you have to say before I touch anything, because it wasn't like the devil tricked Eve. She knew where that fruit came from. She knew it belonged to God's tree. And I got to tell you something. It gets worrisome to me when the church doesn't have reverence enough for God that they will willingly lie on purpose, that they'll get angry on purpose, and that they have no reverence for touching the things of the kingdom. I tell you what, if you're not terrified, see, that's where you got to balance the grace and the kindness of God with your reverence for him. See, in one way, you're looking at Adam and Eve and thinking, man, they had confidence to be everywhere in the garden and praise God for it. But in another way, you got to sit there and say, are you kidding me to be in the presence of God and to know that he said, you guys can have anything in the garden, but that tree, don't touch it. And you're going to go to that tree and pick up a piece of fruit that the devil gives you, and you're going to bite. See, I want you to understand something. God is a God of grace and mercy, but unconditional love brings with it absolute accountability. Do you have unconditional love for your children? Why do you tell them right and wrong? Because that unconditional love calls you as a parent to want to prepare your children to live in this life under the liberty, the freedom, and the power of living a good life. Amen? Amen. You tell your kids right and wrong because you don't want to see them in trouble in school. You tell them right and wrong because you don't want to see them in trouble with the law. You tell them right and wrong because you want them to find and discover who they are and be blessed. Amen? So one thing I got to tell you as Christian people, praise the name of the Lord, is that if you want to exist in the unconditional love of God, then you better take on the accountability of the requirement of the Bible. And you can't give me that excuse, Pastor Phil, I would like to, but I can't do it because you're a little liar, because the Lord says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Bible says that because of the love of God, he would never put something more on you than you can handle. And because of the love of God, God is never going to leave you in a position where you have to live his standard on your own power, because we can't do it. But if we will allow the grace of God to come upon us, then guess what? We can walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, joy, long-suffering, and gentleness. Logan, I said gentleness can be a part of our nature. I'm just picking on you. But listen to me. Babe.
Stop.
Gentleness to your husband is a part of your nature. And it is. She's kind to me all the time. More. Huh? From my perspective, and maybe I'm looking through the blood all the time, but from my perspective, my wife is kind to me all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyhow, I got, amen, give the Lord a hand clap. But anyhow, amen. I want you to know something that the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19. It says that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Remember, the Bible says in the book of Chronicles, here's the solution. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, oh, we like that part. Here's the part we don't like. Turn from their wicked ways. Seek me and pray. I will heal their land. See, we are too comfortable changing the word of God up. Listen, if you want it your way, you go to McDonald's or you go to Burger King's and you tell them if you want onions on your Whopper, if you want tomatoes, if you want cheese, or if you don't. You tell them even if you don't want a bun. I learned that you know, sometimes my wife doesn't want to eat bread. I learned that Wendy's will actually make you a hamburger without a bun. Crazy stuff. You can have it your way. But when it comes to the word of God, you're going to have it God's way. Amen? I don't even know if it's American to eat a hamburger without a bun. But anyhow, hallelujah. I will tell you this right now. You can go to a lot of places in the world and get it your way. But I want you to know something. The best thing for you in the kingdom of God is to get it God's way. Why? Because his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. And he's the God that loves you enough to bring you into the places that he has for you. So I want to remind you that in the book of Exodus, and if you don't know what that book is about, it's about a time where God's people was in bondage. And they had turned from him, and they were serving under the Egyptians. In fact, they were actually in slavery. Hallelujah. And they were actually serving the Egyptians and was working for them. But the hand of God was still on them so much that they were growing even in those uncomfortable environments. To the point where Pharaoh looked and said, my goodness, these people of God have grown so much that if we ever go to war, they could overtake us. So he started oppressing them even at a greater dimension. Amen? And what happened was that, of course, God's people started crying out and God heard them. So God sent a man by the name of Moses who came in to lead God's people out of that oppression. Amen? And I want you to know that Pharaoh was not willing to let those people go easy. Amen? Remember, Pharaoh represented the devil. You know, the devil is not ever going to be easy or willing to just let you go. You're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to stand strong. You're going to have to follow God, and you're going to have to get an outcome. Amen? So I want you to know something, that when Moses would come and talk to Pharaoh and he would say, Pharaoh, you're going to have to let God's people go. Pharaoh would come up with all these plans of his thinking of how he can keep a foothold on God's people. He said, well, if the men need to go and worship God, they can. You leave Egypt and you go out and you worship God, but then you have to come back because we're going to keep your children and your wives here. And Moses said, no, Pharaoh, I'm sorry, that will not work. He said, I am not only going to leave here with the men, but I've got to take the women and the children because all of us got to go and serve God. And we can't afford to leave stuff here in Egypt. And so Pharaoh would contend with Moses and he'd try to make things up. And in this whole time, there was 10 plagues that was released. God would release things against Egypt to soften Pharaoh's heart so he would get his hands off of God's people. So eventually it came down to the fact that the Lord came and spoke to his people through Moses and said, Moses, tell the people that they need to go and take a lamb out of their flock and sacrifice it. And they're going to have to take this lamb and sacrifice it. This is representative of Jesus, amen? The lamb that was slain that went to the cross for all of us. But he said, you're going to have to sacrifice that lamb. He says, and what I want you to do is put some blood on the doorpost of your house. He said, because a spirit of death is going to rage through Egypt. And everybody who's not having that blood on their doorpost, that house is not going to be safe. He says, and then, this is the part I do like. The Lord said, tell them to cook that lamb. Woo, praise God. Woo, And don't just boil it in water and make it have no taste. He said, put it on the fire, praise God, and let it be roasted in bitter herbs, praise God. Listen, when I season up my steak, I'm telling you that I am feeling the presence of Jesus when I season up my steak. But that was representative of the blood that sets us free and the word of God in the believer that gives us life. You know, that meal was not just the meal they were eating. I want you to know that that meal was to strengthen them, because the next day they had to get up and leave that city. And I tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord, through the blood and through the Word of God, will strengthen you to get through every battle in life. Amen? So if you want to read this story in whole, you can read the book of Exodus. This part is in Exodus chapter 12, that there was a terrible death angel that came that night through the city. And what was sad was, in every house that was not connected to God, death fell on firstborn children, and death even fell on the firstborn in their fields and in their animals. I want you to know something, that the world is a dark place if Jesus is not with you. But I also tell you that, man, for those people who heard, who sought, heard God, and was obedient to his instruction, I want you to know something, that even though Satan was coming in the most power he had ever released on the earth at that time, that stinking devil couldn't touch the people of God. Woo! And the Lord said, just get in your house, put the symbolic blood on the doorpost of your house, which should be the blood that's on the doorpost of your heart today. Amen. Woo! And I tell you what, the Lord said, just tuck in under the covering of that blood, and it doesn't matter what comes through the city, you shall not be touched. Amen? I tell you what, the presence of the Lord is speaking to the church today that we have allowed what's going on in the world to affect us too much. Listen, if you have a business, you should start believing that even though other businesses might suffer through the pandemic, I'm not going to suffer. People are going to feel safe to come into my business. They're going to feel the presence of God. They're going to be drawn. They might even come in the door and say, I don't know why, but when I come here, I just feel peace. Hallelujah. Well, you come in here all you want to, and then they're just going to start ringing that cash register. I tell you what, it is time for the church to be the church. And I want you to know something, that the death angel came through that city, and in the morning, every house that was covered by the blood, everyone was safe. And I tell you what, it touched Pharaoh so much that he said, man, it's time for me to get my hands off of God's people. I tell you what, if you will tuck up under the blood, before you know it, the devil will say, you know what, it's time for me to get my hands off of this people of God. And you will start walking in a power and a liberty that belongs to you, but you got to do your part. What would have happened if those people had said, you know what, I'm just so fearful I can't do it. I'm just so scared I'm not going to kill the lamb. I'm just so scared I'm not going to put the blood out there openly. If I do that, all these people in Egypt will know that I serve God. What if they get mad because I have blood and they don't? If you read the word, there was so much grace that God said that if your lamb is too big for you and your household, you can go to your neighbor and invite them in. Woo, praise God. You know, I want you to know something. If you read the word, you'll find out that not just Jewish people went out, not just Israel people went out, but the Lord said that there were strangers. In other words, there was people that were not really attached to the people of Israel that went out with them and actually stepped into the blessing of God because they just went with God's people. See, here's what I want you to know. If you truly follow God, eventually those who you love will have their own experience with Jesus. You know, sometimes I have seen parents with a wayward child give so much to that child that all they do is lead them into a bigger hole. Hallelujah. Did you ever notice that when the prodigal walked away from his father blessed him once? And even when his father started getting reports that his son didn't even have a house to stay and he was feeding pigs and eating pig slop, did you notice that the father did not leave his post and run down there and give his son more? Why? Because his son would have stinking wasted it. I tell you what, sometimes we do those people no good that we love when we overprotect them. Sometimes they need to go to a season of the devil whipping their tail. Sometimes they need to pay the... Oh, I know I'm hurting some of your feelings. Woo! I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I want you to know something, that sometimes you overplay your hand to the devil because you're not really trusting God with your bad situation. You're stepping in there and you're trying to be God and doing the natural, what can only be done in the spirit. Sometimes instead of chasing your children down, they don't need you weeping and knowing what's going on in the details of their life. They need you praying and facing God and asking Him, Lord, go and intervene on my behalf. You don't think the prodigal father's heart was broken? That man saw his son afar off. That man killed the fatted calf for his son, put a robe on him and blessed him. But guess what? He couldn't do it by chasing his son down. He had to patiently wait till his son came and made his own step towards the Lord. See, an important key of that story was that it was the prodigal that came and said, Father, I repent. What I've done to the Lord and to you is wrong, and I'd rather even be a servant in your house now. And I tell you what, God restored him. Some of you are in the season of waiting. It's time for you to rest in the Lord and wait. And truly trust God with situations that you haven't up till now. Oh, my goodness. Praise the name of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost on that situation. I feel God. I want you to understand something. That this was a symbolic representation of what the Lord wants to do with us and with who we are. I want to remind you that the Bible says this in Mark chapter 10, verse 30. But he, now in this life, we shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. I want you to know something, that you're going to receive the blessing of God in this life, but persecution is going to be a part of it. The devil is not going to just let you have everything with ease, but the devil should become more and more under your feet where his attack don't overwhelm you as much as it used to be. Amen? I tell you what, it's not that I don't still get attacks from the devil. I just shake him off like the flea he is. I just don't give him the respect I used to. I just don't allow him to take over like I used to. It's not that I don't fight battles. It's just that I'm going to have a hammer in my hand building and a sword in this hand, protecting and fighting. Amen? But I tell you what, you're not going to find me weeping in fear over the destruction of the devil, even when he does something to hurt somebody I believe. Listen, I don't give him place to get one tear out of me other than like I would for Lazarus. You know, sometimes you're going to cry out of the compassion that something went wrong. But in that same moment, your prayers ought to be out of the boldness to believe that God can wipe away all death on a situation and bring forth life. Amen? Yeah. Woo! Praise God. I thought that you guys would be shouting by now. Amen. That's what I saw when I was preparing this message. Maybe the Lord was just letting me see that so I'd be bold enough to preach this message. Amen. But I believe if I don't see it in the natural, I believe in the spirit. Your spirits are shouting, saying, yes, Pastor Phil, preach that word because you're bringing me alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo. I want give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. I want to preach something to you just for a moment, because it says right here in Psalms chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life." See, when we are seeking God, we've got to be in His Word so we can hear what He has to say on a situation, so that by faith we can start living that way. Remember, I want you to know something, that sometimes the Bible says this, not sometimes, all the time. Hey, I need you to pray for your enemy, not contend with them. What? I mean, in the natural, that's so opposite of what we want to do. Boy, if we have an enemy, we want to get back at them the way they get back at us. If they attack me on Facebook, I want to attack them on Facebook. If they called somebody and talked about me behind my back, I'm going to call them and talk about them. Hallelujah. We just want to fight in the world's way, but I'm challenging you to understand that the Lord says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, and they will produce more than you can produce." Amen. See, you know, we forget sometimes that the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Right. Whew. Oh, come on. I'm feeling that dance come upon me again. See, your problem is that you want to have the control over vengeance. Oh, my goodness. Every time someone doesn't do something that you want them to do, you want to control the outcome and see the punishment they should get because it doesn't line up with what you were thinking. Amen? Woo! Every time. We need to step out of the way and remember that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And when you talk about vengeance, there's a way that man thinks about vengeance that always brings destruction. But vengeance in the kingdom means that God is going to take what the enemy meant for evil and He's going to turn it out for our good. Amen? Vengeance in the kingdom means that if you leave it in God's hands, people will come through something blessed. People will come through something redeemed and on the path that God has for them. But you just got to be willing to put it in God's hands. I tell you what, when I worked, and I don't even tell Regina all this stuff, but she might have heard this story, maybe not, but I'm going to tell on myself. But I worked in a job in the natural. You see how I repositioned myself, didn't you? But I worked in the natural, and I had a job that sometimes I had to work in a difficult situation, and we had a union there and all this kind of stuff, and I was in charge of doing discipline and all that kind of stuff. And there was a young man, and he loved guns and stuff, but so do I, so I didn't care. But anyhow, he got in trouble, really bad trouble. And I'm the one who had to tell him, "Hey, you're going to have to leave. You're suspended, and you cannot return to work, and we'll be evaluating your situation." And usually when I suspended someone, especially in the union shop, they had already done enough that you knew they were going to be fired. Amen. Hallelujah. But one time I suspended a man, and I worked with that group and was able to give him 30 days. And during that, you know, he had to take anger management, and he was sending death threats in about my life. I don't think I did. Yeah. Amen. She's in agreement with me. And then there was another time that this other young man, he was sending death threats, and people knew him so well and his background of violence so well that I even had leaders in the union that called in to take days of vacation because they really thought he was going to come and, you know, kill people. Well, your crazy pastor went down. I always went to work early, but this morning I got really early, around 4 o'clock, and I got to our facility, and I walked around the outside of it, not even the gated community. I didn't even go into the the gate. I walked on the sidewalk outside of that place, and I walked that whole facility, and I said, Lord, I thank you that wherever my feet trod, that I have the authority. And God, I thank you that all of my years I have prayed that there would never be a gun violent crime in the place that I work. God, that there would never be a workplace shooting. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this situation. And instead of this man trying to kill anybody, especially me, he's going to come and get saved. And he had told his ex-wife, who he was having fights with, he said, I'm going to start at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to kill my boss, and then I'm going to leave, and I'm coming to kill you. And I said, Lord, I thank you that her family is safe because he's starting with me, and he'll be saved before the day comes up. Guess what happened? It's the middle of the summertime, and here he comes through the door at 8 o'clock. And my boss is back there. He said, oh, my gosh, Philip, he's coming through the door. He said, you get out of here. Get out of here. We need the police. They're on their way. You get out of here, Philip. You get out of here. I said, oh, no. I said, we're going to. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go talk to him. He said, no, no, you're not going to go talk to him. I said, yes, I am. And I walked right back there, and I won't say his last name. But I said, hey, Dan. I said, you know I call you Daniel because in the Bible it said Daniel was a man of an excellent spirit. I said, how are you doing today? And he came through our door with his big winter coat on. I don't even know how he got through. Maybe because he came into the gate and was already there before security locked him out. But he came in and he had a coat on in the middle of summertime. And I said, Daniel, I know you're having a pretty hard day. I said, but I just want you to know I've been praying for you. And I want you to come sit in my office. And we're going to talk. And guess what happened? Came, sat in my office, and he broke down. And I said, do you have anything with you that I need to know about? He said, no, I have something close, but something happened to me. He said, I just started remembering how you've prayed for me and how you stayed over work to talk to me. He said, and instead of coming in here with what I thought I was going to do, he said, I'm coming in here to ask for help. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. See, I want you to know something. How are you going to respond when the pressure's on? What's going to happen to you when you get the death threat? Are you going to do it your way? Or are you going to be like Jesus? Now, I'm not saying don't take those precautions that our wisdom, praise God. I believe in wisdom. I mean, if someone was coming towards my house declaring that they were going to do a death threat, hey, I'd call the police and say, hey, there's a man headed my way to kill me. But I'd also tell you this, that I would never be afraid to do what the Lord tells me to do. I'm telling you. Be available to know that God is bigger than the world. See, this is this is part of the problem right now. We say we love the Lord, and we do. But part of our heart believes in things of the world more than we do of things of Jesus. Listen, I would never deny a doctor's report, but I would be bold enough to stand in front of a doctor and say, I don't have that. Brother Carey, what did you get diagnosed with one time? Didn't you have a diagnosis where the doctor said you have something? Yeah, they thought he had prostate cancer. Did you just sit there and say, okay, doctor, I accept your fullness of your wisdom and there's nothing I can do about it. Honey, I'm going to die. Did you look at, I got to use this, can I use your personal name for her without embarrassing you too much? I won't do it. I won't do it. Ask me later and I'll tell you though. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, she said it so I can say it. But Brother Carey calls his wife sexy all the time. I love that. Her name is Sue, but to him it's sexy. Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyhow, in your heart you're thinking, I ain't giving up sexy that Sue. But anyhow, really what happened was, what did you say? And what did you say when he said that? Amen. Woo! He looked at the doctor and he said, I ain't got cancer. I ain't got nothing. I'm good. And there might have been a process behind that, but the truth is, that man is sitting here years and years and years after a doctor spoke something over him, and he's walking in something that the doctor never thought he would. Amen. You know, I just got stirred up because yesterday I was reminded of the time that a family adopted a baby that had HIV. And I still have it on my phone when they called me laughing, saying, Pastor Phil, what I got to tell you is that the doctor said he was looking, because he's the doctor over this. This is what he does. He was the head, whatever they call them, but he was the head over all of the HIV clinics in this particular area as far as being the leader, and he reviewed these tests himself all day. And he said, man, I really wanted to double check and double check and double check. He said, but I got to tell you. He said, I did the test that proved this baby had HIV. He said, so I wanted to be the doctor, review it, and prove that his blood and his body, or her blood and her body, now shows no sign of HIV. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. So one of the things I really want to challenge us with over this next year is that we got to get back to believing God for the miraculous. If you got a list of people that haven't got saved within the time period you thought they were going to get saved, it's time for you to refresh that list. If you got some things you are believing God for that it's been years and years and you haven't seen it yet, you got to refresh that time that you're believing God for. Amen? Amen? Listen, I want you to know something that I just want to share a couple things with you here, because I guess this is what I'll be preaching on next week, because I ain't going to get to finish this all today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hear some of you say, amen. He's going to shut up soon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But anyhow, I want you to know something, that in the Old Testament, Moses called the people to wipe the blood of the lamb over their household, and they were safe. But in the New Testament, Jesus went to the cross and gave us a better covenant, because his shed blood is over our house and over who we are as the temple of God, and he dwells in us. I want you to know something, that the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Uh-oh, we don't like that part. That's why I got to teach on this next week, so I can calm your fears a little bit. But it says this, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. See how important it was for us to hear that word during worship? Remember when Brother Keegan just sat up here and said that I can't preach the gospel, I'm worthless. Thank God that at Pump, he got a refreshing of the truth. See, sometimes when we think that we have disappointed God, and when we make mistakes, and we do sometimes, man, sometimes we backslide, we fall off the radar, we do things, we get discouraged, we quit coming to church, we quit praying, we quit, we might be coming to church and doing nothing else. Sometimes we just get into these life moments that overtake us. But I want you to know something, that you have to remember that you are his temple, and that God wants to bring a restoration to you so you would never allow the devil to steal your identity. See, some of you say, well, I don't see where God has helped me. Yeah, because what you speak is restricting his ability to help you. Oh, come on. I gotta tell you. One time the Lord came up to Moses and he said, Moses, he said, go tell these people, as they have spoken in my ears, they're going to have what they speak, even though it's not at all the will of God for them. It was not the will of God for them to be in the desert. It was not the will of God for them to go through all that misery. But their murmuring and complaining stopped the will of God. Stop talking negative over yourself. If you're sick, stop confessing it. If you're struggling, stop saying that. Say, hey, I might have this pain right now, but Lord, I thank you that I am healed. Amen? I mean, Brother Carey might not have felt perfect after he walked away from that doctor's office, but he never changed his confession. I don't have that. I don't have anything. I'm fine. And I tell you what, sometimes, people, you got to understand something, that you are the biggest stopper of what God's trying to bring to your life. Woo. Amen. The Lord dwells in you. Remember, Jesus spoke death over a fig tree, and because he was the Lord speaking, that fig tree died. See, sometimes you forget that the Lord says that when you speak, your words are touched by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And I need you to know something, that what you speak has an impact. You are going to either invite the glory of God in, or you're going to limit the glory of God. Oh, I got to buckle down on this just for a minute. And this wasn't even in my message today. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Our actions can grieve the Holy Spirit, and our big mouth can grieve the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Bible says, out of the same mouth you bless men and curse men, that ought not be. You can't get water and vinegar out of the same thing. If you pour vinegar and water, you're going to taste it. Amen? And listen to me, I want you to understand something. We've got to make sure that we're not bouncing back and forth in the things of the kingdom of God. You know, I just want to remind you one more time before I finish out here, which I got just a little bit more to give you, and I'm finishing. And then Braden, we're going to dedicate Braden today. It is his day of blessing. Amen? Praise God. Amen, amen. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, see, I love it because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the word will be confirmed. And I love it that the Lord is speaking this over us, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you know that you belong to God? Do you know that his spirit resides in you? Then why don't we get in unity with what he has to say as opposed to what the world has to say? Because I tell you what, if the Lord in the old covenant, through the blood of a natural lamb, could keep a death angel off of a house, how much more so? Whew! Will the blood of Jesus keep death and darkness and fear and discouragement, poverty, sickness, and negativity off of you? Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to finish right here with this scripture, because I just really feel like over the last few weeks, the Lord has really been dealing with me about people being on a long journey and things not happening fast enough. When the Bible says, come on, hold in there, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And the Bible says right here in the book of Acts chapter 3. Now, I've often thought about this, because the Lord walked through by this temple many times. But it says that in Acts chapter 3, verse 2, there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb who was carried, uh, who whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So in other words, this man who was lame and could not walk would come and lay out in front of the house of God and ask for people to give him stuff. And it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him or looking directly at him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. See, I tell you what, isn't it amazing that these people filled with God were not afraid to say, hey, look at us, knowing that this man was not just going to see natural men, but they were going to see men who'd been touched by Jesus. Amen? Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, I believe that Peter and John, who were businessmen, they might have had some money on him, but really what he was saying is, I'm not putting my trust just in silver and gold and the natural things I have, so I don't have silver and gold for you today. I'm not trying to touch your natural need today. He said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In other words, Peter and John was making the proclamation that, hey, I might have the things of this natural world, but that's not made me who I am. And the natural things I have obviously are not big enough for your situation, but what I do have is a relationship as the child of God, Holy Ghost-filled, redeemed believer, and what I do have is power in his name to break darkness off of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he took him by the right hand, woo, and lifted him up. Are you making sure as a believer that when you find the hurt and the broken, that you're lifting them up? And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Do you believe that's the first time that that lame man thought about walking into that temple? Not at all. Listen, I tell you what. I pray that you have not given up on the things of God, even if it's been something you've believed for your whole life. Amen? Because I tell you what, the Lord is just waiting for a moment for you to look upon him, for you to seek him at another level over that issue you're dealing with. And I promise you, the blood will come on the doorpost of your heart, and God will make the supernatural be a part of your life. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare your glory over your house today and over your people today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the Bible says that as we see the day approaching, that's when we should come together even more, Father, so that your presence can come upon us, God, so that your supernatural ability can transform us, change us, and give us life. Now, God, we declare your glory, Father. We exalt you and lift you up. And, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, that you're just touching us, healing us, transforming us, God, and making all things new in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that according to your word, you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, Father. And Lord, I just declare it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Do we have any online prayer requests? Praise God. I must have made them mad when I said I'm going to turn off live streaming and we're going to talk for just a quick minute. Amen? But that's okay. But before we do that, I'm going to ask my dear wife, Regina, to come up here. And I'm going to ask, where is little Braden at? Amen. Let's go get little Braden today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank God for the family that's here with little Braden today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I think you're trying to hurt me just now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we're waiting, is there anybody in here who feels like they just need to make a refreshed commitment to the Lord? Anybody in here that's not saved, or anybody that's, even if you're saved and walking with God, today you might just be saying, Lord, I want to go to another place with you. Is there anybody in here saying that? If you are, just lift your hand for just a minute. Anybody in here saying, Lord, I just want to go to another place with you. I just want to know you. I just want to be strengthened in you. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. I'm going to pray for a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just believe, God, even over this last week, Father, Lord, really even over the last months, God, I just sense that people are wanting to go in the new places of your authority and just new relationship with you, God. They want to be refreshed. They want to be strengthened. They want to see the miraculous. God, they want boldness to come upon their life. God, they want to see your purpose fulfilled, God. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you're just touching people that are opening their heart to you, Father. And I give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's have the Smith family come up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then don't you have some folks that are going to be godparents to little Braden? Amen. Well, you guys are welcome to come up here with us. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Look at that. Isn't it beautiful when God brings a family of faith together to join in and just the hope and the faith? You know, I want to thank each and every one of you who are making a commitment to celebrate with Haley and with Philip and with Braden. You know, I want you to know something that, you know, that child I prayed about with HIV, I told that family they were adopting that baby. And I said, when you adopt this baby in, the bloodline of the past is cut away. And this baby steps in to who you are in the family of faith, who you are in God, and what God is doing. Amen? Hallelujah. You just sit down, Braden. It's his day. Amen? It's his day. And so I thank God for Philip and Haley and their love for Braden. And I thank God for the price you paid and the journey you went on to bring him into the household. Amen? And I thank God for each of you who are joining your faith with them and this child, because I believe that Braden just has a powerful destiny on him by the hand of God. Amen? And I believe that God is always with us. You know, when the Lord selected Mary, he knew what he was doing. Amen? And I tell parents all the time that when you acquire a child, God puts in you what is needed for that child. And he's trusting you to work with him so you'll be led by him to bring that baby up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen? And so we are just going to dedicate Braden. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just dedicate Braden to the Lord. Father, Lord, as it were, we see in the Bible how people, Hannah, brought Samuel to the Lord. And God, we're just believing you for your purpose, your just hand of goodness to be upon Braden. And Father, we thank you right now that you are touching Haley and Philip. God, that you are giving them the wisdom, God. Father, you are giving them the clarity to raise him up in you, God, to protect his life, to pray for his life, and to always have wisdom by you to help him come up, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that just like Jesus, he will grow in favor with God and with man. And God, the dreams that you have in him will come to pass, and the dreams that you have in Haley and Philip and all these beautiful people that are here to support them, God, you're just pouring out, Father. All of them will be touched with your favor and your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo! Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you, little Braden. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Praise God. I looked back and I guess.